Well, 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 what do we have here? You're probably wondering, where the fuck have you been, Ed? Busy. And I don't mean that in a very unproductive way. I mean that in a very, I don't even know how to describe this quote unquote busy that that I like to claim, but Cesar Aguilar, compa, Islos in the house, all day, air day. Ya sabes. Welcome. Thanks for joining me at 10:17 p.m. California time. But nonetheless, it's been quite the month. I think the last time I actually went live was on March 29th, and it was just to do a mental health check-in. And lo and behold, it was quite the almost 3.5 weeks. A lot of things happened, not only in my life, but and different places. Hey, Lauren, thank you for joining the cast. I appreciate that. I always love the picture of the dog. It's awesome. But so people were kind of asking like, okay, what have you been up to? I mean, not to get too personal, but there was some, I guess, some things that kind of transpired, not only at the end of the month, but the whole month of April. And, you know, one thing I do like to encourage, especially people who go through it just like I do, to kind of repeat things in your head that I guess can be a source or a catalyst for a solution, regardless of the circumstances of the problem. But at the same time, I also encourage that you don't help people that stubbornly refuse to not get help. And I mean that blatantly, because I'll give you an example. People who think they are smarter than other people, they're pompous, they're pretentious, they're know-it-alls basically. But yet they have nothing to show for. If you knew everything, you think you're smarter than everyone else, and you think you have it all figured out, then look at yourself in the mirror and reflect on your current situation. You really don't have anything to show for it. And don't get me wrong, I have an ego, but from time to time I check it, and it's been that way since high school. I've carried that ego check, because it does get too big and it inflates. And what's up, Anthony? And Anthony would know about an ego. And I'll give you an example, going back to being a know-it-all, being pretentious, being pompous, all that shit, is when you stubbornly refuse to learn a fundamental method when it comes to, for example, some type of exercise, some type of movement, some type of conduction, as I like to call it. And I remember my mom used to say, oh, eres mulo, eres mulo. And what mulo means is I'm a fucking mule when I will refuse to learn a specific thing, something as simple as frying an egg. I'll give you that example. Frying an egg is probably the most fundamental thing to do on the stove to cook breakfast. Frying an egg is the most fundamental thing. This is what, you know, the experts have told me. Who are the experts? Chefs, renowned chefs, or people I've known in the business for a long time. They're like, the first thing you should learn to do is fry an egg. Anyone can pour milk. Anyone can pour cereal. Anyone can stick a spoon in there and just chomp it. I'm like, but get a pan. Pour a little bit of olive oil or cooking oil on it and fry the egg. And then you move on. Okay, just do the egg white, like very fundamental things. But I was a mulo, as my mom would call me, because I saw someone else do it. And I already in my head knew, okay, well, I already know how to do it. But yet I'm right here standing next to my mom, who's been cooking my breakfast since, you know, I was shitting my diapers. That's, you know, that's a big ego check. And when you think you know more, than anyone else, and you're just a people pleaser for that reason, then yeah, you can't, you know, you can't grow. You can't. And especially if you have nothing to show for, then it's a lost cause, if you ask me. So that's kind of what I've been learning these past 3.5 weeks. And not to mention, you, I'm the most imperfect person in the fucking world. I always like to tell people, I am not a mentor. I repeat, I am not a mentor. The reason I say that is I'm an advisor. I'll give you advice because, one, I'm too young to be old, too old to be young still. I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes. But one thing's for sure, people who have made the most mistakes do offer the best advice, but they're still imperfect. They don't look to solve everything because, in my opinion, this is only my personal opinion. If you're a person that diligently tries to fix everything, tries to find a resolve, quote unquote, to everything, and you know it's almost near impossible to fix crazy, for example, then you're wasting your time and energy. But deep down in your heart, as you guys like to call it, I mean, I like to say deep down in your mind, if you know there's a chance, even like the remote chance that someone can be helped, then, you know, yeah, listen to that in intuition, because yes, you're absolutely right. There is some hope there, but there's stuff where like there's nothing there. And Anthony, yeah, you speak the truth right there, man. People never stop making mistakes, no matter what age. And I'll quote the great Ozzy Osbourne, still alive. He said, once you stop getting nervous before performing on stage in front of a bunch of people, I mean, in my case, when I was performing with the original bands I was playing, I would get nervous when the bartender was just there. And to Ozzy Osbourne, that's a good thing. It's a damn good thing, because you still have the jitters that you were first, kind of like a heroin addict. You still have that first high that you initially got from playing. And I remember the first time I ever played on stage, for example, I didn't have the ego yet because I didn't get a taste of what it was like yet. And yeah, people either embrace it or they don't. Same thing when I used to play sports. And I know this too, because it's so weird, because sports and music kind of go hand in hand. There's people that are above average in practice, rehearsal in this case. But when it comes to showtime, when the lights hit and the crowd's there and there's noise, they just switch it on. And I was that type of dude where even when I was playing sports or I was in the rehearsal studio, whatever, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be lazy, I wouldn't push myself, but I think I got more of a thrill from being in front of a crowd because I got nervous. So my fight or flight response just automatically turned on. What's up, Daniel Bernard? Mark Keppel's finest. What's up, man? Welcome to the podcast. But nonetheless, a lot of that has taught me that it's not for everybody. I mean, I know people that don't have that ego, you know? And Daniel says, I'm ready to get on your podcast. I never thought you would ask. Thank you, Daniel. We're going to pencil in a date. We're going to talk some shit and talk a lot of shit. So, okay, I'm gonna take you up on that. So, but the one thing, okay, I'm going back to this whole 3.5 weeks that has gone by. One thing I realized is sometimes when you're trying to have, I guess what I call a teaching moment, excuse me, with an individual, it doesn't matter what age they are, whether they're a child or actually, especially a child. Actually, that's not the best example because children are still in the growing phase. So let me use an adult, a young adult. When a young adult is going through that adult transition developmental phase, is all I like to call it, physical violence definitely is not the answer unless they are professionally seeking that line of business where, you know, your paycheck, your livelihood, you know, thrives on you being physically violent and successful at it. For example, like a mixed martial artist, a defensive lineman in the National Football League, or an NHL hockey player, rugby, whatever you want to call it, then that's different. That means your nervous system has been trained since you were almost, you know, an adolescent to not only endure that type of punishment, but also, you know, give it back in return. Now, when you get into a situation where there's a person that does not have that type of nervous system, I guess callousness is all I like to call it, then no, I don't think physical violence is a way to teach people a lesson. Even though a lot of people are, don't get me wrong, man, I'm a 90s kid, I'm old school. That's sometimes how we learned, but did we really learn? No. As a matter of fact, if people got physically violent with me, whether they were adults or, you know, same age as me, that would make me more angry. I remember particularly that was quite the contrary. Like, I wouldn't learn from it. Like, what the fuck am I learning? Like, you just kicked my ass. Like, I'm going to want to kick your ass back. Like, it might not be today and might not be in 2 weeks, but I'm going to want to fuck you up. And whether I got the chance to, you know, get back at them or not, then so be it. If not, then I learned, like, okay, I got more in tune with, I guess, my personal logic is what I like to call it, by not getting into those types of situations, because that's where I got really, really, really thought-provoking is what I'm trying to say. And that's when the ego began to form. And now I know, as long as you understand how your ego begins to form and how you fulfill the first four needs, as I talked about it before, I'll reiterate that if you want me to, the first four needs of your ego, then you'll begin to accept, not just understand, but accept that these first four needs of the ego are fucking universal and everyone has it, regardless if they talk shit to you or not and deny that you're a crazy person. And these are the know-it-alls I'm referring to. Again, what are the first four needs of the ego? The first one is certainty. Certainty. I was being made fun of because I'm a Californian and we don't pronounce our T's. So eat a dick. But certainty, we need to feel more pleasure, less pain. We need to know that the light bill is being paid on time. We need to know that we can get through traffic with, you know, half tank of gas. Shit like that. Like, we need to be sure that my live stream is going to work correctly and you're going to be able to hear me. That's certainty. And yeah, it was crazy. And back to your comment, Daniel. Yeah, back in the day, we were just hotheads. And that's part of the ego. Excuse me. I have not been smoking weed. Okay. Don't say shit. I'm kidding. But being a hothead too was also, for me, it was a form of certainty, because you were certain that if you got angry over anything, like if you got angry, for example, before a track meet, when you were about to throw the shot put, you will channel, you were certain that anger was going to channel into energy so you can throw that piece of metal as far as you could. That's an example of hothead certainty. And then there's quite the the contrary, where it's, you know, it's confident certainty, where you already, you're assured of yourself that things are going to get done. You have an itinerary, you're scheduled. But then comes the second need of the ego, which is uncertainty slash variety. And again, I'm reiterating this because this whole 3.5 weeks, I have to keep reminding myself that these first four needs of the ego are universal, and every single person on this planet meets those needs, whether they know it or not, or they accept it or not, but they meet those needs one way or the other, doing different things. But the needs are fucking met. Now, okay, yeah, you're certain your plan is going to go as scheduled, and then boom, you get hit with a curveball. There's a surprise, there's a problem. Most people call surprises are the, most people that like surprises, this is what I learned. Most people who like surprises like the surprises that they want. The ones that we don't want, we call problems. Flat tire. I ran out of gas on the freeway. My car stalled. The internet went out. My Zoom is frozen. I keep, like, that's uncertainty. That's, quote unquote, that's the spice of life. Because also, I always remember, I remind myself, like, and this is getting to my obsession with TikTok, obviously, which I'm going to get into. If you knew how everything was going to go in during your day, how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, like what time, like all the time, if you knew the timing of your entire day for the rest of your life, you mean to admit to me that that would be a happy life? Because I would gladly disagree with you. It would be boring as fuck, because you would basically run a routine that you just get tired of. You're like, fuck, is anything going to happen? Like, you need that second fucking need. Variety. Yeah. Hector Flaco, my brother. Gas running out, it's because no te fijaste, pendejo. Say pendejo, not menso. Menso is very light. I like pendejo better. Glad you tuned in, Flaco. God, you've been hiding in the toilet sending me pictures. I'm kidding. From Chico's. Oh, I'm Beverly. But yeah, Anthony says, I fucking hate surprises, but guess what? That's part of OCD. And I'm going to explain what OCD is too. OCD is part of that certainty need. That's part of your ego. That's crazy, because I'll explain what follows from that. And wow, porno is my happy life. Wow. Just make sure you use a VPN, Hector. Okay. That's the internet condom. Stop raw dogging the internet. Thank you. Lauren says it would be the same old thing. Life would be boring. Absolutely. And that's kind of like what variety has always been. I mean, people like to call it uncertainty because it's a different etymology and it's a different definition. It's more kind of derogatory, I guess you could call it. But to me, it's just a word. I see it as it is, not as worse, not as best. So, and the variety, you can, it's a different spin. Like, you're basically saying, like, okay, well, challenge accepted. Okay. Let's think of how we can solve this problem. Or no need to panic. We're going to fix this. That's kind of what the etymology of variety kind of ties into. And trust me, I consistently have to check myself with these needs, because it gets me down to earth, to where I know, okay, I'm not perfect, and I know other people are not perfect. And this helps me understand them a little bit more. And because just like everyone else, I get judgy. I get very fucking snarky at people. I begin to, my ego starts kicking in, you know? And after that, you know, those first two needs of the ego, certainty and variety, you meet them, right? With OCD, you meet them with playing solitaire. You meet them by keeping all of your devices neatly charged in a certain space and you know you have to have it plugged in. And by the morning you wake up, it's going to be at 100%. That's certainty. Uncertainty is you didn't put the charger all the way in on your iPhone and it didn't charge the whole fucking night. Now you woke up and it's at 27%. Surprise, motherfucker, your phone ain't charged. So, but Anthony says, I love certainty. If something throws off my routine, it's fucking everything. Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. And Marcus, DJ Rocca, he said, you always had a big ass ego, big nalgas. You know what's funny? That I heard a joke that the bigger the nalgas, the bigger the ego. And applies both to male and female. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, is that me and Marcus? The big asses. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Now, look, now let me get into those first two needs, right? And then the third one, which is significance. And those first two needs fill into how you feel and define things in your life according to you. That's significance. The need to feel special, the need to feel part of something. That's why a lot of the MAGA people, I mean, I know this at this point, it's already old news. They fulfilled those needs of the ego because they were missing all that shit. And I fucking understood like how this works. Even with, I don't mean to get into politics, but that's how politics is too. It's one big ego void fulfillment. It's the craziest shit. Like now I get it. Like, oh, so this is how you get people to fucking get on your side. You get them to start questioning their certainty by presenting variety and uncertainty surprises. And then you present to them a certainty solution, which will make them feel significant. Now, it's a little bit cult-like, man. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I used to sell cell phones for a long time and I used to do the same shit with the products, regardless if I knew they were going to work or not. I mean, to this day, I'm surprised this fucking technology that we currently, you know, not even embraced, but we utilize as a part of our livelihood, even works the way it does. I'm still surprised to this day. So. Anthony says, I had the biggest ego in high school, but quickly lost it my first couple of days of boot camp. And that's okay. And I've been reading a lot of Simon Sinek, I'm back to Tony Robbins, and they've all interviewed like high-ranking generals, high-ranking gunny sergeants, just people who have been the military is one big infrastructure to me, but that's just the build, right? It's the immune system. Now, what goes into it is what makes it the healthy immune system. And that's part of the mental training. And that's to break down the ego, which is very difficult to do because when you, for example, come in as cookie dough and you get carved out of wood, to quote, you know, Chuck Palahniuk in a Fight Club. That's exactly what goes on in your ego. You have to destroy it, literally just tear it down and build it from scratch. And that's the most difficult thing to do. And the way the military does it, for example, like the Marine Corps, Air Force, Army, even the Navy and Coast Guard, they have that same method, just different levels of it, obviously, of breaking down your ego and then just rebuilding it to what their standard of ego is, basically. That's kind of what it is. And a lot of it, I've seen it destroy people, but quite the contrary, I've seen more people succeed from it. And you apply the same concept, right? Because you're in a group that makes you feel significant. You're in the Marine Corps, you're a devil dog, you're in the Navy, you're in the Army, you're part of something. That's significance. You feel special, you feel needed, you feel significant, you feel like you're wanted. Now, Quite the contrary. What I've learned is the fastest way and the quickest way that people have figured out how to feel significant is through physical violence. Through fucking physical violence. All the cholitos that I grew up with, they felt low. They felt unwanted. They felt like they didn't belong until they joined the gang, the barrio. They joined the neighborhood barrio gang, and that was their purpose. That was what they served. That was like, this is my mission. This is what I'm born to do. This is my certainty that I'm with my homies. And my uncertainty is I'm a gangster. And there's a lot of surprises coming with, you know, being in the hood, man. And that's the most significant way to feel. That's the quickest way to feel significant is physical violence. And we're always going to have that. That is not going to go away until we, for some utopian miracle, have a consciousness change. And that's what I've learned. And that's wishful thinking. And I hate to be a Debbie Downer about it, but it only happens, well, never, but it only happens in specific clusters, if you know what I mean, like in specific states, neighborhoods, because I mean, look at other states in the US, and they're kind of ass backwards. They never really evolved. That's because they consistently met those first four needs of the ego the same exact way, and they never changed it. So to them, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? So be it. But yeah, so certainty, uncertainty, significance. Those three, those are the first three. There's one more. And wait, Lauren asked seriously, but to what statement or question, Lauren, you might want to let me know so that way I can bring it up. But nonetheless, you find a way to meet those first three needs of the ego every fucking day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. And Iron Mike says, can't be a homie with a Patriots hat on. Well, guess what? This homie had no football team growing up, man. Come on. I had to take the RTD to Exposition Park to go see the USC Trojans play on Saturday mornings. The longest bus ride ever, I swear. But Lauren said, the violence part. Yeah, it's true. And I've also seen it with mixed martial arts fighters where that's all they've ever known. And then they find an outlet like, oh, I can make some money off this stuff. I just got to get really good at it. And that was, you know, it's either a yay or a nay when it comes to that physicality and that profession. So, yeah, being physically violent, to be honest with you, is not... it's not in everybody, because we either flee or we fight. So it's either in your or it's not. I mean, I've known plenty of people that just they'll back down. They won't fight. They'll rather just avoid a confrontation because that's how they fulfill that need, saying, okay, I don't need to prove anything to anybody. I feel good right now. So I don't need to get physically violent. What's up, Christina? And Iron Mike, you know I love you. But yeah, significance there. I mean, here's another way that people have done it. And absolutely, Lauren. And people have done it by tattooing their whole face, getting sleeved out, putting piercings all over in places that, you know, I can name the body parts, but... you know, wearing their favorite football team jersey, wearing their favorite band shirt. The biggest culprits of significance, in my opinion, because they fulfill that need of the ego very quickly, are sneakerheads. Sneakerheads are the number one culprits, man, because they feel like they're part of, you know, something special, which quite frankly, I think sneakerheads, it's a very expensive and very unique art form. And yeah, there's a community for that. And there's, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's a need to belong to something. Just like even us with the podcast community, I mean, we're very small, but when, you know, people kind of drift away, then either A, they're not fulfilling that need with their current podcast feed or whatever, then they have to go meet it elsewhere because that's where they feel they're more wanted and more significant. So yeah, or they identify as something. Absolutely. Anthony says, I would only want to fight during football games for some reason. I was pretty passive on the field. Well, here's the thing is you have to remember that a lot of people biologically are built different. You already know that. So, and this goes back to me talking about transgenders in sports. Only because I understand the biology behind it, but I didn't get too in depth into it. I actually need to have a podcast on it because I know a trans person that wanted to come on and kind of discuss that because there's pros and cons to that, and I understand it. But I just need to learn more about how it works. And I don't mean the trans part. I'm talking about how the policy with having trans people in their gender participate into that field. So that's another one I want to have. So, Laura says I must be different because I just did my own thing. Well, that's the own thing. Like, okay, a sneakerhead, for example, that Anthony doesn't know. Anthony, a sneakerhead is someone that collects shoes. And I'm not talking about Al Bundy. No. But doing your own thing is you're fulfilling those first three needs. Is you're certain that you're going to do your own thing, how you want to do it. But you're also uncertain, or there's variety that, okay, maybe I'm going to run a few obstacles here and there. So how am I going to take care of this? And say you do take care of it and you do accomplish even a short-term goal, then you feel significant. Cool. And then that brings you to the fourth need, which is love or connection. Because us as humans, we need some form of connection. I'll give you an example. Me, I'm the most detached person, but I feel the need to socialize. It's in my nature. I'm detached, but I need to socialize. I need to talk to people. It's like, I can't ignore it. I've been like this since I was a child. Like quite the contrary, when I've had friends who are complete, you know, sociopaths. They don't like to be in crowds. They don't like to talk to people. And I understand why, because that's not what makes them feel significant. That what makes them feel special and what makes them feel worthy is like, okay, minimal contact. I just want to connect with these people. But I also understood why they wouldn't open up so much. It's because to them, love is scary. And I had a tough time with understanding that concept until it happened to me. Most people settle for connection, you know, just say, hey, my buddy here, we're going out for a beer and then just go home, whatever. Oh yeah, she's just my female friend, whatever. We're just going to, but because love is scary. I never thought of that. Never thought of that. That love is fucking scary. That's what most people settle for, connection. Christina says, I never started a fight, but I never backed out of one or loss. But I think I was more afraid to lose a fight and my family finding out and getting my ass kicked than the actual fight. Yeah, and it happens. And that's how we also fulfill those first four needs of the ego. We don't back down from a fight because we don't want to get our asses kicked when we get home. Because old school like me in the 90s, if I got my ass kicked, my mom will fucking fuck me up. She's like, oh, you better win this fight because you got yourself into it. Now you get yourself out of it. But most of that shit backfired for me anyways, because I would take it too far and, you know, again, suspended from school and shit like that. But I had to knock that shit out quick because I was for sure. It was certain that if I got in trouble, I got my ass beat at home. That's, I didn't want that. You know, I didn't. Mike said, you need to do music more, bro. And that's, okay, going back to music. Music is, for me, has been the immediate ego fill. immediate. And that's the most, to me, it's the most healthiest thing I've ever done. Because there's, in music, there's certainty, there's variety, there's significance, there's love and connection. It's fucking beautiful, man. And I know not everyone has that, but, you know, most people do it with, you know, painting, writing, shit, babysitting, making up their bed. It's so crazy. Like, people fulfill that shit real quick. And it's like, what's up, Carlos? He says, "Sup, bro, that TikTok feed was pretty lit when I checked it earlier. IG stories. Thank you for taking the time." That's what I'm saying. Like, that's, and then let me get into that now, because that's part of the needs that I'm kind of getting into. So maybe that's why the way I am, because I teach music, I feel better teaching music. Absolutely, Lauren. Don't get me wrong, man. Music for me has always been my savior, first and foremost. As much as I've been estranged from it, not estranged, but I mean, I just don't play in a band anymore, was what I mean by estranged. But music just does it for me. I know it does it for a lot of people. But then again, I know, like, you know, I have a really good personal friend who's music and movies doesn't that do it for him. The only thing that does it for him is, like, you know, a baseball game on TV and documentaries on Netflix. He will not watch movie because he's just not that impressed by it. It's the most bizarre thing. But then again, going back to those ego needs, I understand why he's not impressed. Because he needs to feel certain that what I'm watching is going to give me my required amount of variety. Because this person does not like surprises. He calls surprises problems, which is cool. And that makes him feel special because he's a family man and he has a great career and he's in love. He's in love with his family. He's in love with his wife. He's in love with his profession. Why would you want to change that guy's mind? You know, you can recommend some stuff, but, you know, you can't, that's not broken. There's no need to fix that. So, but Lauren says, it makes sense. A lot of kids used to hang out in the band room or music room. It's hard for students not being in school. Oh, absolutely. Like, for example, my child did virtual music class, and that was a complete disaster, in my opinion, because coming from a person who's also played music, and I have a personal friend, a longtime friend, who's a band director at a local high school, I understand the frustration. It's horrible. It's like trying to teach an instrument to 5 people on a Zoom call feed. There's a lot of latency. It's difficult, but it's possible. But in person is always better. And that's kind of for me, you know, with this pandemic virtual learning shit, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. As soon as I saw that music class on Zoom, I was like, no, this is not going to work. I mean, it'll work, but not the way it should work, the way it's designed to work. To teach music is in person. Even if they're 6 feet apart from you, that'll work. But I think we're getting to the point where slowly but surely we're going to be in person, and slowly but surely we're going to build. So Iron Mike says, you are entertaining. Use it. Probably saved you from gangs and violence. Actually, yeah. I mean, I had a choice growing up in City Terrace too, you know, and, you know, doing a little bit of residency in South Central with my mom's old boyfriend. If it wasn't for sports or music, yeah, I would easily fall into that, because I was already hanging out with those people because I felt the need to feel like I was a part of something. But then I joined a sport, then I got to feel what it was like to be part of something. Then I joined a band, and that's where I got hooked. You know, it's like, yeah, it's crazy. But getting to, okay, those are the first 4 needs of the ego. There's 2 needs of the spirit, which, you know, to this day, I'm still learning how to incorporate that, because the first 4 needs of the ego get in the way. And those last 2 is growth and contribution. grow this, you have to, it's like a tree. If you don't water it, it dies. If you don't grow, you die. And then contribution is you have to selflessly, whatever you've learned, you have to teach it to somebody else, whether it's your child, whether it's somebody else. Like Lauren, for example, she teaches, her growth and contribution is already there, in my opinion, because music teachers are, they're basically roses that grow out of fucking concrete, if you ask me. And I know now with Lauren, I know five people that teach music, and it's no easy fucking task, I'll tell you that. And me, you know, being a certified audio engineer, because I went to a trade school, for me to actually teach that art on a computer and sit there, it's a very patient art form that you have to take up, because teaching is not, it's not natural to some people. You know, it's something that either A, you're born with, or A, you've developed over the years and learned methods as to how people learn and actually retain the information that you're teaching them. And then I'll give a shout out to the 5 foot Viking, Wit, only because he was one of those people. Again, shameless self promotion for Wit. The 5 foot Viking podcast started with him and I basically FaceTime drinking late at night on Fridays or even Saturdays. And I would literally fall asleep on him teaching him this stuff. And one day I even hung up on him on fucking accident. I didn't even know it because I was so fucking drunk. You know, after beer 7 of trying to teach him all this stuff. I mean, wires get crossed, right? But yeah, that's how he met his needs of the ego. And now he's trying to meet those last two, which is growth and contribution, which he's trying really, really, really hard to do with this podcast platform. And I'm trying to do the same. You know, I'm trying to grow too, not just financially. I mean, growth, when people think growth, they tag on a monetary thing on it, which is the most bizarre thing, because growth doesn't necessarily mean money. Money is one of the biggest resources for growth. And contribution is just that. You have to contribute beyond yourself. You have to be selfless, not to the point where you don't take care of yourself, but to the point where you are taking care of yourself to take care of someone else. Because I've seen it time and time again, people that don't take care of themselves cannot take care of other people. It's so weird because they pack on way too much on their plate and they forget about themselves. They forget to eat. They forget to take a shit. They forget to pee. And all of a sudden they got a kidney stone. They got this. And it's like, dude, you need to pull the brakes a little bit, man. But this brings me to TikTok. So as many things, I was one of those people, as many things I heard negative about TikTok, I gave it a chance. It's kind of like a movie. Like everyone talks so much shit about the movie, but then you're like, well, let me be the judge. And I got on TikTok, last year? And I'm like, okay, this is kind of like, you know, that old app Musically. I think it was the same thing. I don't know the history behind it, but there was, you know, a lot of riffraff going on TikTok. And I'm like, okay, well, let me check it out. And I'm like, is it possible for me to curate my own newsfeed, my own For You, you know, page that first pops up? And the answer is yes. And most people fancy different things. Again, they're meeting the needs of the ego, the first four needs of the ego, by looking at different things on TikTok. They're trying to get that, what's it called? That, what's that thing that, it's a hormone, I think, that I've read that shoots out in your brain that momentarily offers satisfaction from opening up your newsfeed. I don't know what the hormone is. I got to look into it again. If you guys know what it's called, then I thought it was serotonin. It's not serotonin. Serotonin is a stress hormone. Yeah, you guys got to look into that for me, so I don't really know. But I realized that, okay, with the first four needs of the ego being met, and I've seen people meet them in different ways. They watch some fight videos on TikTok. They watch all these hoochie mamas dancing the fucking in front of the camera. They've sports highlights, dogs. I love the dog videos. That's one of my curations. I love that shit. And then there's me. I fancy all the conspiracy shit, only because it's very interesting. And also a lot of the computer hacks, life hacks, you know, cooking tips and tricks, you know, I've learned. And, you know, going back to Carlos's comment, yeah, I share these on my Instagram stories because I know people like to see it. Now, I don't know, for some reason, I share them on my Snapchat, and I'm not really too down with Snapchat. It's just not my thing. But it cuts out the audio. There's some technicality going on. So I just tell people, go to my IG, check out my stories. And I pick out either really funny shit to share, or I pick out very informative things that encourage discussion. It's not confirmation bias I'm going for. I curate things that inspire and incite discussion, because conversations need to be, there has to be conversations about things, because that for me is the variety. I'm never certain about the world anymore. I'm not. That's just the truth, because look at the times we're living in. You just don't know what's going to happen next. But one thing's for certain, you can still stick to the fundamentals. How to search the internet safely, where to go or not to go, what VPN I would recommend you get, what internet service provider I use and I recommend. That's my certainty. Like, I'm certain I can share my personal experiences that have worked for me and offered me certainty to you. And then I dig into those other accounts and other users on TikTok that offer the same thing. Cool. So be it. It's not meant to promote confirmation bias, because confirmation bias is basically kind of like a defense mechanism, to be honest with you. And that's a defense mechanism that I've been trying to eliminate from my brain. But don't get me wrong, when something sounds very outrageous, I don't fancy it one bit, because it doesn't seem real. But I'll look into it, but I won't like, oh yeah, this is it, I'm certain this is it. No, that's not the way it works. But for example, let me bring up some of the videos I curate. So this one, for example, let's see.
Pressed. But you have food and water.
Dumbass. See, and that's very, very reminiscent of, not just Mexican parents, but Central Americans, South Americans. I even know Black parents, man, that are the same fucking way. And, you know, maybe it's just a parent thing. Like, why the fuck are you depressed? I know it's a serious issue, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't comprehend that type of mental health issue right now, I guess. So, you know, it's up to us to educate those people. So, and here's another one. See what, okay, that's one thing I want to, okay. Some of these things are very, very, very true. Listen, okay, watch this. So high functioning anxiety, these are signs of you basically working. Let me put the beginning of the title. Signs you have high functioning anxiety. And one of those signs is, you are a good under pressure and work hard. No, you are good under pressure and work hard, but you still procrastinate. That applies to me 100%. So let's continue on. What else did he say? you were driven and ambitious, but you still fear failure and embarrassment. Not so much applicable to me, but I know a lot of people can relate to this. So Anthony says, mental illness is a very hard thing to deal with. Absolutely. Especially with when it involves your children. Oh, absolutely. And when you begin to understand the first four needs of the ego, especially with young adults, then it'll begin to start making more sense. And you'll start asking more questions instead of just, we used to have the saying back when I used to sell cell phones, you have to sell it. You can't tell it. And it took me a while. It took me almost like 7 years to kind of really master that. But as long as you sell it and you don't tell it, then you're onto something. So let's see what else he says. You are an overachiever, but an overthinker. Yes, that would be me. You know that you were capable, but you still don't fully believe in yourself. Well, from time to time, I think people go through that. But nonetheless, you know, it's okay to question and be uncertain about your ability sometimes, but ultimately, you just got to trust yourself and go with it. You want to be social, but when the time comes, you'd rather cancel. I've done that before, yes. I've done that, you know, a couple times. So Anthony says, I think I mentioned it before. My daughter was diagnosed with a major depressive disorder. And here's the thing is, I never like to see it as a depressive disorder. It's what my buddy Witt likes to call it, it's a Phoenix moment. And it's totally cool. It's a Phoenix moment. That means she's human. You can't really, you know, like I said, like if you try to find a solution to everything, you can't fix everything. I know I said you can't fix crazy, but that's not applicable to me with some type of depressive disorder because there's different levels to this shit. And it's crazy how everything has its own, not just label, but it has its own category of, yeah, ego needs. That's kind of what I'm getting at, because it's true, because sometimes people, you know, they meet them in different ways and they don't, and quite the contrary, they don't know how to meet them, you know? Carlos says the needs of the ego sort of relates to the anxiety thing from this clip. Working well under pressure, it's almost like the pressure is needed to get the mind of the off anxiety, off of social anxiety. That's actually pretty accurate because they're, you know, you guys hit the nail on the head with both of those. Then what else does he say? You hide in plain sight. That would be me. You can't miss me because I'm so big, but you won't see me. That's, and then I'll sneak away. So that's pretty trippy, man. I mean, that's the kind of shit I fancy on TikTok, because I'm like, okay, maybe a lot of this stuff does make sense. So why not share it to create discussion? And people think I'm crazy for it, but, and then there's this.
...of themselves working out at the gym like girls did. This is what it would look like.
That guy's straight putting his balls on the camera, dude. But that's so funny because I see a lot of course, fitness models trying to brand themselves on Instagram and TikTok by working out in front of the camera. And yeah, dude, it's a thirst trap, man. I mean, a lot of us dudes fall for it too. But don't get me wrong, girls fall for it too because they can't help but to admire a very fit body. And, you know, it's normal for us to check out other people. But like, you know what I mean? When it becomes a problem, then it's different. But that's exactly how, I mean, I know he's making fun of the fact, but I mean, it's hilarious. And that's the other type of shit that I like to fancy on TikTok. Then there's, let me see what this one is. Okay, this one's pretty interesting. I just picked this one up. Let's see.
To you. You're all set to start a new creative project, and then you stop yourself because you realize it's too similar to someone else's idea.
That's so true, man. That's happened to me a lot, especially with a song. I'll give you an example. I think like maybe a year and a half ago, I hit a writer's block, and then I kind of found a way to get out of it. But the riff I was writing on guitar sounded so similar to a song I once heard, and I couldn't remember what song it was. But just the fact that I questioned it was enough to make me think, oh shit, yeah, this is too similar to somebody else's idea, so I got to stop writing the song. And that's kind of fucked up because I'm guilty of doing that shit.
Wait a minute. Remember what I told you about ideas? Ideas are bullshit. It's the execution of the idea. Since art is about execution, it doesn't matter that somebody else had a similar idea. Your job is to pour all of your creativity into that idea and make it yours. After all, My Hero Academia is about a school for kids with special powers. Well, that's the same idea as X-Men, isn't it? Mm. Also the same idea behind Disney's Sky High and PS-238, not to mention Percy Jackson and Harry Potter. Think of all the projects you prevented yourself from doing by focusing on idea over execution. And now that the chains are broken, go out there and get creative.
Whoa, that's pretty mind-blowing. So he's basically saying, don't focus on the idea. Focus on the execution. So just do it, is what he's saying. Think of all the projects you've prevented yourself from doing by focusing on idea over execution. Okay, that's interesting. I think I'm going to have to fancy that for probably the next week or two, but... Wow. Yeah. I just picked this one up, so I haven't even watched it. There's a couple other ones that I have. And that's exactly what I do to myself, is I get stuff that I think is gonna, you know, pop some neurons in my brain, I guess. So, and then there's this
kids
shit.
Kids vaccinated when they get polio.
Sharon posts Facebook.
Okay. So if this guy does a great job of mocking these people, and it's hilarious. If you're not familiar with what type of person this guy's imitating, is basically the Karens of social media. So I'll let the video speak for itself. I haven't seen it, but let's see.
Scientist,
I can pull up 10 blog posts right now. How many sources do your doctors have?
Sharon posts, Facebook scientist.
If COVID is so real, how come I've never seen it with my own two eyes?
Sharon posts.
Wow.
Follow for more Facebook facts.
Wow. Follow. She got her degree from Facebook University. That's so fucking funny. Let's see what else that I curate here. I got quite a few. Okay. Now this is where it gets really, really interesting.
Oh no. I'm not one to shrink from a challenge, so here's the conspiracy theory iceberg. As you can see, it is massive, it's huge, it's gonna take forever, and I'm gonna do it. For those of you who have no idea what this is, basically, you start up here with conspiracy theories that are very well known, very well documented, and then you get further and further down into the insane stuff. You're gonna wanna stay tuned here, because some of this stuff is bananas. Cracking right on, I'm going to try to go through tier 1 as fast as I can, just because a lot of them are well documented and the good stuff comes later. You all know what this is. It's the idea that certain news outlets are willingly putting out incorrect information in order to slander a party or a specific person. Cryptozoology creatures is an umbrella that encapsulates a lot of stuff like Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, Yeti, just creatures that are myths and not proven to be real. In Big Pharma's the idea that pharmacy companies are withholding vaccines and materials in order to make more money off their patients.
Well, I can't disagree with those two or three, whatever he named. I mean, let me see. He named the Big Pharma, Big Greed. That's obviously with the opiate crisis. We've seen that. The other one he fancied was cryptozoology creatures. I'm not familiar with those. I got to look into those. Those are pretty interesting looking. I don't know what those are. And then What did he say at the beginning? Was it the... Oh, fake news. Yeah, of course, that it's fabricated to slander another party or another network or a person. Of course, that JP Morgan was one of the first ones to do that. If you guys don't know that, look into that. So let's see. I think I got a few more here. I also have, let me see. Okay, this is a parallel universe theory. So check this out.
So y'all, just hear me out for a second. So I've been thinking about this for a while now, and I don't know why no one else is talking about it. But does anyone remember back in 2019 when scientists were trying to open a portal to a parallel universe? Their goal was to open up this portal to a reality which was a mirror slash alternative reality of our reality. I know, a lot of words. What's crazy to me is that the news of this was literally everywhere, and then boom, at the end of 2019, it was just gone. Now, I'm not saying that these scientists messed up, but I know we can all agree here that nothing has felt right since the end of summer 2019. Like, everything has felt off. Okay, so what if during this experiment, they like messed up, like big time messed up, and they somehow messed up our reality in the process? Or they opened up this portal and then this alternative universe overlapped our universe and like screwed up our timeline? 2020 was a disaster, 2021 so far. What if we've entered an alternate reality?
It's interesting because then comes the unidentified flying object thing, and then now government's actually going on to try to unveil, I guess, the truth about extraterrestrials, which is interesting as well, because what if, you know, what if we are in a so-called parallel universe, but we have yet to find out. And if we even do find out, who knows? This one kind of blew my mind. So check this one out.
Something. Today's April 21st, 2021. 5 years ago today, Prince died. And today is the Queen's 95th birthday. So 5 years ago today, she would have turned 90, which makes me think your 90th birthday wish comes true. But you have to be specific about which prince you want dead.
Whoa, that's crazy. Oh, shit. Oh, man. That one, when I saw it, I'm like, okay, I gotta show people this one. This one's pretty crazy. Let's see. I got a couple more here. Let's see this one.
In your dreams, that means they miss you. And on those nights that you can't sleep, that means you're awake in someone else's dream. During your fourth and fifth hour of sleep, you're prone to the most cognitive dreams. You experience premonition, which is basically a strong feeling that something's gonna happen, and the person you have or had a connection with subconsciously astral travels into your dreams because they're thinking of you and they miss you. And don't worry if you can't sleep at night, because Japanese legend says when you're having one of these nights, it's because you are awake and active in someone else's dream.
Whoa, that's crazy. So that's Japanese folklore. That's pretty interesting. I like coming across shit like that, because that's stuff that I don't really hear on the norm. So, and let's see. This is interesting.
Is lying to the American people, and the world is secretly run by a group of evil, corrupt elites. Black people are inherently violent.
Okay.
Immigrants are coming to take the land that you rightfully took.
Okay.
The queers are all predatory.
Okay.
Jews are eating your children's souls.
Okay.
Native Americans don't exist anymore.
Okay.
If their head is wrapped, they're a terrorist.
Okay.
Hey, the government is a bunch of evil corrupt elites,
so
and they're lying to you.
It's so fucking true. Because, oh man, I mean, this cult thing with, at first it was like the alt-right, and then some of the provocateurs that were basically being protested and canceled on social media. It's weird, man. It's weird how all this shit works. But then again, going back to those, to the needs of the ego, you understand now how all this shit works and how it's even gaslighting is prominent. So if you don't know what gaslighting means, it's basically you're manipulating people and coercing people into thinking a certain way without even them knowing that you're coercing them, which is interesting. Check this one out. I got two more, and then
on TikTok. What? When I do this, it means I started recording. Okay, so let's say they're just doing an angle change transition, right? This is the first part, and then they want to start recording the second part. So they're gonna do, okay, so they're gonna start recording after they started moving their head, because if they start recording exactly at the second that they start moving their head, it's going to show you that little split second before they start moving where they're not moving. Okay, try it right now. When you press record, there's a millisecond of you not doing anything, of you like literally pressing record. Okay, so that means it's recording you before you even press record. Do you understand what I mean? So is TikTok just recording us at all times and then it gives us a segment that we choose to record?
Yeah, you know what? She's absolutely right, because I've done a few TikToks and use the actual stock camera that's in it, and it does just that. So I'll fancy that idea too. I mean, but then again, what social media platform is not, you know, spying on you at this point? So
the theory that absolutely blows your mind.
In 2001, the top-ranked Tennessee Volunteers had to play a 9-3 LSU team in the SEC championship game. Early in the first quarter, LSU quarterback Rohan Davey was knocked out of the game. Rumor has it that Rohan Davey's mom put a Baton Rouge hex on Tennessee that would last up until, well, still going on. Since that time, they've had 9 losing seasons, only 3 seasons of double-digit wins, 1 SEC championship game appearance, and 5 head coaches. Do you believe in hexes? I don't know. But ever since 2001, Tennessee has been on the straight decline in football. And actually, in almost every sport, going through numerous athletic directors, basketball head coaches, Lady Vols head coaches, baseball coaches. Do you believe in hexes?
The answer is no, I don't, because, you know, for years people were talking about the Madden curse, and there's been like 3 or 4 people who have basically defied that folklore. And quite frankly, I was raised in a very kind of superstitious and religious environment at one point, and I'm like, no. I mean, a lot of it is the needs of the ego. You know, it's you fulfill the first 4. And you know what? For some people, religion is one of those. Religion is their certainty. Their variety is whatever sin they commit or whatever problems they're existing. And they feel significant because they belong to a church. And there's love and connection in the church and when they're praying and whatnot. What's the growth? I don't really know. But I know the contribution for them, and I'm only speaking for the Catholic side that I was raised in, they selflessly contribute the word of God to other people and basically have them do the same shit. But once I realized how that cycle worked, then I was like, no, this isn't for me. So now I'm an atheist. So anyway, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Be sure you tune in whenever I post. I mean, I'm going to try to check in as much as I can. Thank you again. Be sure you follow me on Instagram. That handle exactly, Ed Namrock. Check out my Instagram stories. I basically have the same handle for every social media platform: TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, of course, here on Facebook. And have a great week. Stay safe. And remember, do something different. Try something different. But at the same time, try to build the same certainty with that variety, is what I'm trying to say.